Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Now, it may send you either running to hide or dancing for joy when I say this, but back to school is pretty much upon us. Wayland starts next week, September 1st. Boston, the magic date is the 9th of September. That is not far away, and that means in-person learning in the time of Delta without a vaccine for kids under age 12. And that means some families are really anxious, parents and kids. Imagine all the uncertainty of a new school year. Will I make new friends? Will my teacher be kind? Will my crush notice me? And will I catch COVID being around other kids again? How do I wear a mask all day? Last week on Ask the Doctors, one local mom called in wanting some advice on how to help her kids navigate that anxiety. We know she's not the only one. So let's talk about it. Let's do a whole segment on it now. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to have two mental health professionals join us to take your questions about how to support your kids' mental and emotional well-being as we start this third school year where COVID is a factor. 800-423-8255 is the number. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. But we did just want to start by warming us up and ask that local mom who called last week to join us for a minute. With us now, Melissa Adler, a mother of two young kids in Sudbury, Massachusetts. Melissa, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. What spurred you to call? And now, I was on vacation last week. I didn't get to talk to you. Host Jamie Bologna did. But what spurred you to call and to ask the doctors last week?
Because I had made the decision for my children to be fully remote students. I thought that they would be most comfortable. It would lessen the transitions of a hybrid system. And I was also concerned because they both have asthma. And I thought that being home and not having to wear a mask and not having to worry about the social interactions or less than being the guidelines that the school presented, it would be better for them to be here. And now anticipating a new school year, they really were not adjusted that well. And so they've had some concerns.
Most like what? What have they said to you?
Well, you know, they've never really been comfortable wearing a mask. They have been a little bit reluctant about their friends. They did feel that they lost some social connections. It was very isolating for all of us, and I'm a single mom, so they did have each other, but there was a lot that changed, and it was very challenging. Fortunately, I've always raised my children to always talk about things, like very open, very honest, and very direct. And that was something that I didn't have. So I grew up with a lot of anxieties, and I really didn't want them to have the same experiences. So we
and
just
Melissa,
talked
how,
about, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go. Let me pick up that thread for a minute, because you're open with them. They're talking, you've raised them that way. I want to key in. I was an anxious kid. I have kids. I want to key in. How are you getting yourself prepared and managing your own anxiety around this?
Well, I'm doing my best to really have faith and to be strong to them and to let them know that we've been very practicing like safe guidelines, and we've been very diligent and consistent with how we're approaching COVID. The tough thing about it is that we have seen, many neighbors and know of friends who have kind of let down their guard. And that does concern me, because my children, they're 8 and 10. I still don't really know exactly what will or not affect them physically. So that's hard. And of course, they don't want to get sick, and I don't want them to get sick. So we talk about that the masks that I've purchased are the masks that the doctors recommend, you know, that you wear, and yep. that you wash your hands, you know, that they make sure that they listen to what the teachers are instructing them to do, keep their distance when they need to. And obviously, if I need to keep them home, I will do that and not hesitate to do so. But it is hard because we have all these parents have different approaches on it.
Yeah. Thank you, Melissa, so much. I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound impatient. I just know we've got callers who want to come in, and we've got some mental health professionals to add. You have set us up so well for this. Thank you for the call last week and joining us now. Melissa Adler of Sudbury, Massachusetts. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we are taking your calls on how to deal with the tricky emotions, the anxiety, the worry of back to school in the third year affected by COVID. We have two mental health professionals join us. What questions are on your mind for your kids, for yourself, as we get ready to do this? 1-800-423-8255 is the number to call to join Melissa in asking your questions. 1-800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Let me welcome our guest now. Dr. Michelle Durham is a pediatric and adult psychiatrist and vice chair of education at the Department of Psychiatry at Boston University. And Omar Ruiz, who has joined us before, is a middle school counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist. Dr. Durham, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Omar Ruiz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, Omar, I'm going to start with you because today you were in a back-to-school orientation for faculty at your school. Tell me what the conversations are around supporting kids' mental health as they return to in-person learning while the Delta variant is out there and we are still in a pandemic.
A lot of the conversations with staff was trying to reassure everyone that we have already done this before. Back in April and May, when there was a reintroduction of students to be able to come back or to choose to come back physically to school or to just stay within remote, that was almost like a test drive for students and staff alike to be able to see what would it be like and what are the measurements that we would have to put in place and procedures and policies, as well as COVID testing. So that way we can ensure both students and their families that the school in of itself is able to provide a safe environment for them to return back, as well as for myself and the other counselors within the school building to be able to prep for any potential anxieties or worries that may show up for students and their families.
Are people afraid, Omar?
I would say they're more so not necessarily afraid for COVID, but more so nervous around what a full transition would look like, because we are anticipating that there are going to be some students who might struggle with a big learning curve from having done so well remotely, but having to come back and deal with the social aspect of school.
Just like we were just hearing from parent Melissa a minute ago about her own kids. 1-800-423-8255 to share your worries or concerns. What are you anxious about? What are you hearing from your kids? What questions do you have about how to support your kids as they return to in-person learning this fall? Dr. Durham, what are you hearing from families and kids?
I think I'm echoing a lot of what the parent earlier said. I think, you know, everyone's concerned and worried, and everyone wants to be safe and no one wants to get sick. But the message is always for parents, no matter what the problem or the situation is that I think it's important for parents to model the behavior they want in their kids. And sort of putting your own life jacket on first, if you will. So if you're anxious and concerned or feeling down, I think taking care of yourself as the parent or caregiver is super important in order for your kids to feel safe and for their kids' own well-being. And so modeling that behavior that you want in your kids can really go a long way, not only when we think about this situation, but for many situations in parenting. I think listening, you know, and having empathy for all the worries and fears is extremely important. And last but not least, we talk a lot about just sometimes you won't know all the answers. I think kids always come up with really great questions, and we don't always have all the answers. And stating that, and that we'll figure it out. You know, the adults, whether at the teachers at school, the counselors at school, the parents at home, that we'll find out the best way to keep us all safe. But sticking with the facts is just such a critical part of all of this too, to reduce anxiety and fear, and to also that we all, you know, don't all have the answers all the time, but we'll find them, and we'll make sure that we want to keep everybody safe.
Let's start going to calls. And again, the number to ask your questions and join this conversation, 1-800-423-8255. We've got Joel on the line in West Newbury. Joel, go ahead.
Hi, my granddaughters live in Jamaica Plain, 10 and 7. The school is saying that the kids will be eating in the cafeteria. It's a school of about 1,000 kids, and that you cannot take them out for lunch. So this really concerns me. I don't understand why. That just seems counterintuitive to me.
Thanks for that, Joel. Omar, we heard on Twitter several times today from families who were anxious about the school mealtime. And again, we're taking a social and emotional and mental health perspective here in this conversation, and that should be a time of relaxing and letting down for kids. So how to think about that?
I would say first for the parents to, if they haven't already done so, to call and check in with school staff, the principals, about the safety procedures that they are putting into place in terms of if they are in a cafeteria setting, are students being at least put 3 feet to 6 feet apart? Because of course, it wouldn't be expected for students to eat through their mask. They would have to take their mask off. But what procedures are there in place in addition to checking in with the school guidance counselor or adjustment counselor around how available will they be during those first few weeks to be able to check in with students, especially if there are students who have high levels of anxiety or worry or nervousness? So that way, do they need to check in? Do they have to bring that student in to maybe eat in their office in the event that they might struggle with a potential panic attack?
Thank you for that. 1-800-423-8255. To ask your questions, we've got Angela on the line in Holliston. Hi, Angela. Go ahead.
Hi. My son is 6 years old and starting first grade in person this year. He did kindergarten by Zoom. So he's entering school for the first time, really. And this is anxiety provoking on itself, on its own. He also struggles with ADHD. And he actually kind of did well during Zoom, which was surprising to me. So I guess I'm interested to hear what perspectives your guests have about supporting children who are entering school for the first time and also entering going to school with some of, you know, hyperactivity in a time when you can't be hyperactive with your body. You can't, you know, jump into other people's spaces, and that's harder for him to manage. So I'm interested to hear on both of those.
Well, and Angela, I remember that first day of school under less extreme circumstances. And, I'm thinking about you and your son on the first day of school. Dr. Durham, maybe you can jump in there.
Yeah, I think it's a great question because we have to be obviously practicing distance and wearing the mask. And so, but I do think informing the counselors and teachers and the other adults in the school of what's going on with your kid in particular, which we would do under any circumstance, you know, when a kid is maybe has ADHD or some other mental health issue, we always want to make sure that the teachers and the counselors in the school are informed and can come up with a good plan. There's accommodations and other things that can be done. And so I think notifying the adults and also so that, you know, the kid doesn't get in trouble unnecessarily for something that is real and that is hard for, you know, for him. So I think notifying the school is super important in order for them to best accommodate what may happen on top of already feeling the worries and fears during this COVID time.
1-800-423-8255 to both ask your questions and share your worries or concerns about the social well-being, the mental and emotional well-being of our kids as they go back to school in the third school year that is now affected by the COVID pandemic. Omar, both you and Dr. Durham have now said talk to the school, right? Call the school and ask a question, call the school and inform them. It can be a little bit inscrutable, especially for a parent maybe who's, it's their first time with a child in a school system. How does one do that? Literally, who do you call? How do you start that conversation? And what do you have a right to expect in terms of responsiveness from the school?
I would say, I can't speak for all schools, but with most schools, my hope is that they are preparing and anticipating to receive calls. So concretely, a parent could call just their main school number, and they could request to either speak with their child's teacher if they're aware who their child's teacher is, or they can speak with the school principal, or they could directly ask for the school counselor, the school adjustment counselor, and just share with them what their concerns are and ask directly of the staff what procedures are in place, what type of support can you provide my son or daughter. And as far as for the parent, what they can expect is to expect that change can't happen overnight, that with anybody, any student going into school, even when there's adjustment periods, if they're entering middle school for the first time or entering high school or even elementary school for the first time, there's always going to be a sense of anxiety that exists, and that's relatively normal. What we're adding here, which is a sense of complexity, is COVID and concerns around health. And so when you're adding that level of complexity, that adds a little bit more fear towards the anxiety. And that's something that is expected for everyone, especially that this has been a shared experience across the global world. And so for parents, I would say go online, look up your school staff and network, and start learning a little bit more about who are the main key players as far as for your student. Now, there are going to be some schools that are bigger than others, so it might be a bit more complicated, but you're always, your go-to person can always be the counselor that will be assigned to your student's grade level.
We are talking with Omar Ruiz, a middle school counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist, and Michelle Durham, a pediatric and adult psychiatrist. Dr. Durham, we have a call here. Danny is on the line in Andover. Danny, go ahead.
I do.
Hi. And Danny, go ahead.
Question. Yeah, thank you. So I'm hearing all this discussion about masks and how we handle the difficulty with children, and I'm drawing a distinction between how the U.S. is approaching it and how Ireland and the U.K. have done it, where the vast majority of their schools are going unmasked based on other research. And I want to kind of get the doctor and the team's perspective of what a different path that each of these countries is taking.
Sure. Thanks, Danny. And maybe the way to ask it for you, Dr. Durham, because you're focused on social and emotional well-being and mental health, talk about the impacts of mask wearing and how kids respond to that. What do we know?
Yeah, thanks. I think what we do know is that actually most kids have responded quite well. And I think that's when parents have conversations around why we're doing this, what's the purpose, and because we're trying to keep not only ourselves safe, but also all those around us. And, you know, sort of what I had mentioned earlier about when parents sort of model the behavior they want in their kids and how to keep others safe, I think kids automatically will do it because their parents are, you know, well regarded. They respect their parents and want to do the right thing. And so I think having those conversations, being very straightforward about what we know, and what the doctors and scientists and public health researchers have been doing across this whole pandemic is applying rules that can keep all of us safe. And having those conversations with kids, I think, can go a really long way. And especially if we're doing it as the adults in their lives as well.
So I appreciate that. So, and that gives me a chance to pick up the other side of it too. And Omar Ruiz, I'll turn to you on this. Mm-hmm. Are there social well-being benefits of being unmasked? Are there things that are important for us to get to a point where we are sufficiently vaccinated and Delta is sufficiently under control, et cetera, that we can be unmasked in schools? And recognizing that currently, although we are anticipating this will change this week, currently the Commonwealth is allowing local school districts to make those decisions. But are there benefits to being unmasked that are important at some point to get back to as well?
I would say definitely. Outside of just overall health, is being able to just connect with people, being able to see your friends smile and laugh and cheer and yell. Because you can only understand body language so much when you're just focused on one's eyes. But there's a lot of nuances when you're speaking with someone, and you can catch different cues through just being able to witness someone's mouth. And there's no level to being able to just feel human again. I think the having the mask, it is a safety precaution, but it does take away us being able to connect as just human beings and recognizing that every single person has a very unique feature to them. And the one thing that we're missing is just to be able to connect with each other.
With that in mind, Dr. Durham, just last brief question to you. You've talked several times about the importance of modeling behavior for kids. What's a short piece of advice you can give parents to help them manage their own anxiety so that they can model that behavior you're recommending?
I think it's really important to get your own, you know, if you have a mental health need, or if you're feeling overwhelmed and maybe it's not reaching the potential where you need to see a mental health professional, but remember to take those breaks, you know, take some time for yourself. I think it's really important. And depending on, you know, the time you have and your work and other responsibilities, even if it's 5 minutes of doing your favorite thing or sitting quietly or drinking that cup of coffee, maybe alone in the morning, I think it's really important to figure out in your day, how are you going to get 5 minutes of time for yourself? Because then you'll be your best self for your kids, your family, and everything else you need to do for that day. And kids, you know, see that, and others in the family will see that. And so if it gets to the point too, where you're feeling so overwhelmed, where that time for yourself isn't sufficient, then even seeking out that, you know, mental health professional to get more help will benefit, you know, your kid and the family ultimately, as well as yourself.
All right. That is Dr. Michelle P. Durham, a pediatric and adult psychiatrist and vice chair of education at the Department of Psychiatry at Boston University. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Omar Ruiz, a middle school counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist. Omar, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much.